Good afternoon. I do not have any financial or conflicts of interest to disclose. As we've already been talking about, we know what pertussis is by now, I'm sure, also known as whooping cough. It is a bacterial infection of the respiratory system, which is characterized by very severe coughing spells. And we know that children under the age of 1 year old are affected most out of any other age group. This is the most common vaccine-preventable bacterial notifiable condition in the United States. Cases have increased from about 7,500 to 48,000 annual reported cases from 2001 to 2012, as in being reported to the CDC. In fact, if you look at this, from 2001, we had about 7,500, as I said. And then 2010 went to about 27,000 cases, which dropped in 2011. However, 2012 went well over 48,000 cases. And we've seen this increase with over the last decade or so. Previously, when the Tdap and Dtap vaccines were implemented, the rates went way lower than it used to be. However, this new increase is becoming kind of a new phenomenon. So why is there an increase? Well, it could be a few different things, and it's probably a combination of things. First of all, we have increased screening for the disease. There's a greater awareness of the disease in the community now, and also there's improved diagnostics to diagnose people with pertussis. Although, again, it could be many other things, but we don't necessarily know. What we do know is that outbreaks have become a very common problem. So the pertussis vaccine schedule for the DTaP vaccine is shown up here, and that includes diphtheria, tetanus, and acellular pertussis. Published reports indicate that when administered to infants aged 2, 4, and 6 months, the acellular pertussis vaccines are effective in preventing pertussis disease and associated with fewer local, systemic, and certain more serious adverse events than the whole-cell pertussis vaccines. And that's a big reason why the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommends them. To maintain adequate immunity during the preschool years, the fourth vaccine, which is considered the first booster, is recommended for children aged 15 to 18 months. So the fourth dose should be administered 6 or more months after the third. But if the interval between the third and the fourth is greater than 6 months, the child is not likely to return for a visit at the recommended age, the fourth dose of either DTaP or whole cell DTP may be administered as early as 12 months. As you can see on the screen, 4 out of the 5 doses are recommended before 19 months, which is the start of the age in this study. So with that, the objective of this analysis was to identify variables associated with the uptake of the first 4 recommended pertussis-containing vaccine doses separately among children in the United States. And this was used using the National Immunization Survey data, years 2010 and 2011. It captures vaccination data on children aged 19 to 35 months. The 2011 data was the most recent publicly available data right now, and 2010 was added to increase the sample size, especially since some variables were missing cases, etc. There is a handout in the back that shows the results that I'm going to present. You can either take it now or bring it with you later. It might be helpful, but I'll be going through it. The methods for this analysis included multivariate logistic regression. I included only cases with available provider data for all of the vaccines that the child had. Also, a weighting variable was applied in order for this to control some bias and for generalizability in SAS 9.3. Today, I'll be reporting adjusted odds ratios, adjusting for all of the predictor variables that were used. Obviously, there are some predictors that are very important, and crude estimates of the odds ratios show that they are, but today I'm going to talk about the overall model. So the outcome of pertussis-containing vaccines included the DTP unknown type as coded by the National Immunization Survey, or DTaP and any of the combinations of DTaP. The predictor variables in my model are shown here. Child's age, race, sex, firstborn status are important. For poverty level, the poverty thresholds for 2009 and 2010 by the size of the family and the number of related children under 18 years, and it depends on the size of the family, is what sets the poverty level. So, for example, the highest would be 25,000 household income per year, and that's with five children in the household. For provider facility type, all public refers to the children getting all vaccines at federally qualified health centers or public health department clinics. All hospitals would be a hospital-based clinic, and then private would be a private practice, which would be solo, group practice, or an HMO. When referring to mobility status, moving from a different state refers to the child at the time of the survey being in a different state of residence from their birth. And insurance, when having health insurance, also includes Medicaid coverage. So any type of coverage for vaccinations or anything like that. The basic descriptive statistic results, I'm just giving some here. The overall sample number was over 30,000. Child's age, the largest group, or the oldest group, 30 to 35 months, was 38% of the sample, 63% being non-white Hispanic, and half being male and just under half being female. At mobility status, you can see almost 93% of the children remain in the same state that they were born, and also insurance, including Medicaid, over 96% of them are covered by some sort of health coverage. These are the estimates of the outcome for each of the vaccines. As you can see, they're very high because in a lot of cases for they're recommended, not only recommended, but required. This, for the vaccine 3 and 4, it's very close to the similar actual coverage estimates that the National Immunization Survey results show. So the first three vaccines are very, very high, and although 88% is still very high for vaccine 4, there is a drop-off. On the sheet that some of you may have, it shows the different adjusted odds ratios for each vaccine, along with the confidence intervals, 95%, and the characteristics on the side. So this is reporting controlling for all variables. And there was no significant difference observed for adjusting all predictor variables for these variables. So after adjusting for all predictors, race, ethnicity, sex, firstborn status, mother's age, and mother's marital status did not show any significance. Although these are very important factors, we did not find any significant results in the model. Other predictors were considered for the model, but they were either removed because of high collinearity or just missing data that drove the sample size down very low compared to what we have. I'm going to go through each of kind of the significant results and describe. So of those who received the vaccine 3, there was a 43% increased odds of being in the middle group, 24 to 29 group months versus the reference, which is 19 to 23 months. And then for the fourth vaccine, there was an 83% odds of being in that same group. However, for the oldest group, there was a 2 times increased odds of being in the 30 to 35 months group versus the reference group. Although these results may not be surprising, again, all four vaccines are recommended prior to the youngest age group in the sample. For poverty level, of those who received vaccines 2, 3, and 4, there was an 80, 64, and 31% increased odds of being above the poverty level and having a household income of over $75,000 versus being below the poverty level. Also, a 21% increased odds of being above the poverty level, making less than or equal to $75,000, and this was only observed for the last vaccine. For number of children, of those who received vaccine 3, we found a 39% reduced odds in families with four or more children versus just the one child. And this is also seen for vaccine 4 with a 42% reduced odds. So if there's more children, they're not necessarily going to follow up for all vaccinations for the child in the survey, which is concerning because, as we had talked about before, most of the cases happen where there are many children in the family. Mother's education. There was only one significant observation in the model. There is a 23% increased odds of the mother being a college graduate versus high school graduate or less education in just the fourth vaccine. For provider type, looking at all of the different types of providers, overall there's a reduced odds of using all hospital-based clinics versus public clinics, which may not seem very surprising, but an increased odds of using all private-based clinics. Not significant in all cases, but there seems to be a trend. For mobility status, having moved from a different state or not, of those who received the first vaccine, we observed a 66% increased odds of moving from the different state versus remaining in the same state. However, this trend switched for vaccines 3 and 4, having a 42 and 43% reduced odds of moving from a different state. And there was no difference for the second vaccine. And health insurance, the last variable, in all cases, we noticed an increased odds of having health insurance versus not. And again, this does include Medicaid coverage. So after adjusting for all of the potential variables used in the model associated with uptake of pertussis-containing vaccines, using a validated national data set, uptake of the first pertussis vaccine doses is associated with child's age, poverty status, number of children in the household, the mother's education, however this was in one case we observed, the provider facility type, change in state residence, and also insurance status, having some sort of health coverage. The key points to take away from this are, not surprisingly, health insurance status is associated with vaccination coverage, and including Medicaid coverage as well, so which is also very important for lower-income families. And also, we've seen that moving from state to state appears to have possibly disrupted the vaccine schedule. However, there's no way to look into the cross-sectional survey at what point they moved or anything like that. This is just a hypothesis. Because of this, there are limitations, being a cross-sectional study. We are only capturing children in households with a landline, so not all the families are. Now, 2011, there was cellular phone data. However, I removed that sample. There was not very many in order to keep a very consistent analysis for the sample. But they did use generalizability weighting variables as well. So there is subject to non-response and non-coverage bias from this. And since it's a cross-sectional study design, we cannot test whether or not there's a cause or effect relationship. And also, combining 2 years of data, there is a likelihood of collecting data on the same child, but it's very unlikely. Finally, the recommendations provide and market services to vaccinate children without health insurance. As we had heard before, they do that in several states, but the marketing strategy could be improved for some families. We need to help create herd immunity and increase the vaccination coverage, and especially focusing on this fourth vaccine, there seems to be a drop-off. And moving from state to state, seeming to appear to is disrupting this vaccine schedule, this suggests the need for increased communication between state-based vaccination registries. So with that, these are my references, and if you have any questions, I can take them now. Yes,
I just have a question. So the moving from state to state,
right?
There was no indication of when that happened, like if that was just between birth and...
at the time of the collecting of the data for the cross-sectional survey, yes. Unfortunately, with the National Immunization Survey, it is one of the variables that talks about, you know, having the origin versus not. I did believe it was an important variable to include. However, one of the big limitations is I couldn't track when it was. Yes, that was, I think, one of the very interesting findings from this. So it suggests to look into that a little more. Yes, sir.
The last point of your recommendation there, did you actually look into the possibility of that even happening? This last I heard from meaningful use that states weren't really going to adopt their vaccine registry for not talking to each other.
Right. No, that's certainly, I've looked into kind of studies and other things of that happening, and there's really no indication that I know of that it's going to happen. It's definitely one of my recommendations based on the findings that I think is very important, especially given the push for electronic medical records and such. There are obvious issues with sharing information from state to state, but in the future I hope that there's kind of more emphasis put on this because we really need to follow up with people, and that may be difficult a lot of times.
We'll take the question in the back before me.
Yes.
We know that productive the complications work for younger children, so I was wondering if you looked at the timeliness of each of the doses.
I looked at that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of limitations with the survey data that I could look. They had a date, but it mostly had to do with just the 2-4 months period, but there wasn't a lot of information in the public use file. Unfortunately.
My question is about the vaccine shortages that we've had.
Yes.
And for DT, AP, and Tdap. And I was wondering if any of the shortages could have impacted on these results. Because when I look at these multivariate results, they all sort of, to me, point in a certain direction that if you are more fluent, your mother's more educated,
right,
then you tend to have gotten it. And whether there were some disparities because of the shortage and who's more likely to get the vaccine if there was a shortage.
Right.
So I was just wondering, particularly as I recall, but I don't have all the dates in my head about the shortages, but there was a recommendation not to hold off on the fourth dose because they wanted to make sure that, fourth and fifth doses, right? Because they wanted to make sure you got
the first 3 doses.
Right.
Right.
So, and I don't remember all the years. You might remember some of the years, but you might want to look at that to see if the shortages occurred during the time that these children were born and, at a time when they should have been vaccinated.
That's a very good point. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you for the work that you do.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Is there any other questions? Okay, thank you.